Colorado is enjoying good times. Unemployment is low, housing prices are rising, along with tax revenue, but the economic boom has not trickled down to the state's public schools. From Colorado Public Radio, Jenny Brundin has the latest story in our series, School Money.
Is it this one?
Economist Charlie Brown pulls down a black binder from the top shelf in a back room in Colorado's small legislative library.
That's an old dusty tome.
The dusty tome is a binder from a 1992 voter-approved change to the state constitution. It's known as Tabor, or the Taxpayer's Bill of Rights. To a lot of Coloradans, Tabor sounded like a good idea. Here's why. One, it required that voters decide on tax increases instead of the legislature. And two, it capped tax revenue. Anything over that cap, typically in boom years, would go back to taxpayers as a refund. Republican lawmaker Jerry Sonnenberg says Tabor was about trust.
People of the state of Colorado, I'm convinced, especially in my district, until the government figures out how to manage its own pocketbook, don't want to give them any more of their money out of their pocketbook.
Back in 1992, economist Charlie Brown worried about the potential consequences of Tabor, especially for schools. It was his job to explain those consequences to lawmakers.
So I sat with a copy of the amendment right there.
Today, he's standing in the exact same spot at the exact same chalkboard he stood at in what was his office almost a quarter of a century ago.
I began to write on the blackboard and found myself writing in very tiny letters.
Tabor capped how much money could be raised with taxes on things like property and income. That then limited how much school districts could raise locally. To make matters worse, the law also limited the state's ability to make up the difference for schools.
I don't think that people on average knew what it meant, especially long term.
Tracy Rainey is with the Colorado School Finance Project, a nonprofit research group on school funding. She says Tabor forced schools to make deep budget cuts. In 2013, according to Education Week, Colorado spent about $2,500 less per student than the national average. In fact, that ranks Colorado below two of the poorest states in the nation, Mississippi and Alabama. What this means for Colorado's schools?
They can't retain teachers. They can't attract teachers. They have outdated technology, larger class sizes. They've lost the opportunity to offer certain programs. We've had fewer school days, furlough days, all sorts of maintenance issues.
Voters tried but failed to fix this. Then came the Great Recession, and state lawmakers cut school funding even more. Now, Colorado schools face a nearly $5 billion shortfall, and because of Tabor, no hope of getting that money back.
The state now is balancing their budget on the backs of students.
But John Caldera sees it differently. He's with the Independence Institute, a free market think tank, and says Tabor's a big reason the state's economy is doing so well. As for its effect on schools, he says more money isn't the answer.
And I think parents and family members and taxpayers are saying, no, fix the problems, use the money you have more wisely, and educate our children.
This year, thanks to Tabor, taxpayers are on track to get $156 million back. That comes out to an average of $19 per person. For NPR News, I'm Jenny Brundin in Denver.